Welcome to the Wine Vault. On tonight's bonus episode, Rob and Becky both enjoy a classic Pinot Noir from the Russian River Valley in California by Mary Edwards in their 2009 Klopp Ranch Pinot Noir. So sit back, relax, and enjoy an evening without the unlicensed taxi driver here on the Wine Vault. Welcome, everybody, to the Wine Vault. It is I, Rob the Wine Guy, and tonight I am joined by the Triple B.
Good evening.
The unlicensed taxi driver is currently on quarantine, unofficially.
Right. We're all sheltering in place.
Yes, and Scott's in place elsewhere. That means we have the distinct honor of drinking some fancy wine tonight. So with that in mind, on tonight's show, I have a mystery wine, but it's not that much of a mystery because it's obviously in a Pinot Noir glass.
Obviously.
Yes. So from that, we're going to surmise that it's Pinot, or I've lost my ever-loving mind. Could be.
I hadn't even gotten that far yet.
Didn't figure it out was Pinot?
Mm-mm.
Okay, good. But what we're going to do tonight... We're going to drink the wine after I eat this salami.
I was going to say, after.
I actually just swallowed it whole. I didn't even chew it. I realized it was interfering with my ability to speak on microphone. But we're going to go through this wine. We're going to discuss it deep. Because this is going to be a deep cut. It's going to be one of those, normally, Scott and I would have on a B episode where we have some obtuse wine that nobody's ever heard of. And normally Scott bought and brought to the show and... We don't know what to do with, like, some sort of, you know, Austrian white wine. Yes, I know. Bo, the Wine Vault dog, has lost his mind. He's sure that there's a cat in this room, but he's not quite smart enough to figure out that George is already in Nicaragua. So...
I do think before we get started that we should just have a quick thing that we know that, you know, the coronavirus is everywhere and... We've kind of made this decision on the Wine Vault. You're not coming here for news. You're coming here for entertainment.
It's true.
And so we, that's what we're going to do. Scott is not here.
Because he's not entertaining.
Sorry, Scott. No, Scott's not here because he's not allowed to be
here. Well, he could be, but he doesn't feel well. And if you don't feel well, you don't come.
And as of tomorrow, Ohio's on a lockdown.
That's right.
And so all I was going to say is, you know, just like you all, we're reading the news all the time, watching all the news, watching our governor speak every day, all those things. But this is really all that we're going to talk about it on the show.
That's right.
Because we just want to be kind of a respite for...
A respite. That's right, folks.
Yep. So, do you always say? Sit back and relax.
We want to get you drunk.
Yep.
And this will be a Wednesday episode. It'll be this Wednesday.
What?
So, Scott can hear what we did tonight. Oh, yes. Scott.
I feel like you're going to move us to recording every single night to just keep, like, twisting the
knife. Oh, the
knife
is going to be
wound.
Twisted in and just stuck. And, yeah, he's going to love it. So, folks, we're going to take a break. And then we'll be right back with the mystery Pinot Noir here on the Wine Vault.
Unlicensed taxi driver here. When I'm out on the road, mayhem is everywhere. Mayhem doesn't care. But your local Allstate insurance agent, Craig Walters, does care. Are you in good hands? Are you in the good hands of Craig Walters Insurance Agency?
And if you're not, folks, please give Craig a call. His number is 740-862-4585. You can also meet him at his office at 107 North Main Street, Baltimore, Ohio. For auto, home, or life, give Craig a call.
And we're back, folks. So, the tonight's mystery Pinot Noir. And it's a mystery to Triple B. I know what it is, obviously, because I had to open it. I've tried sometimes to open things randomly without knowing what they were, but I just ended up breaking the bottle, and that didn't work out too well for me.
You broke the bottle?
I'm just being funny.
Oh.
How could I do that?
I was going to say, well, I broke two glasses today.
I know that.
Ugh.
I know that.
Ugh.
I know.
Oy vey.
I know. I've been holding in my...
I wouldn't say you've been holding anything today.
Well, I have been. That's how bad it is.
No, you've been very grumpy.
I have been. It's been a cruddy day. But anyway, in the glass, folks, the Pinot Noir typically, and this is not de Autrefois, typically is translucent. This one is not particularly. It does have a little bit of a translucence towards the edge.
It has a ton of sediment in it.
Well, we'll get to that. It is.
Do I get a piece of paper to take notes?
It is dark, dark crimson.
Mm-hmm. You can just tell. It's very dark, especially for a Pinot, huh?
It is. It is. It's dark. It's crimson. Has nice legs. It does have. I believe that would be sediment. That's probably not simple salts or particulate.
Mine's for sure sediment.
Probably. On the nose, you have crushed berries.
A little funk.
Mm-hmm.
It smells like a Pinot.
It does smell like a Pinot, but it's a little funk, yeah. Looks gorgeous. There definitely is a little mushroomy funk, mm-hmm. but it's blending with those crushed berries. It's a very nice, elegant nose. It's not overpowering. Mm-mm. It's just right. It's just right, isn't it?
Are you smelling any oak in it? I am not.
It's not overtly oaky, no. Mm-mm. It is on oak, but it's not overtly oaky.
Yeah.
From the nose, do you have any guesses as to what we're looking at right here?
I am guessing a non-domestic Pinot.
She's starting off with a non-domestic Pinot, folks. Mm-hmm. Interesting. Okay.
And, yeah. I'm going Europe. I'm going with a European Pinot.
A European Pinot. That's what we're starting off with, folks. European Pinot is where she's starting off with. So now, we're going to do what we do best. Mm-hmm. We're going to take a sip. Just a sip. First of all, near full bodied, mm-hmm. prune into a floral cherry, cherry blossom. Then you have a little bit of Sherwood Forest as it lingers along, and it's very, very long.
And honestly, it's almost on the... On the tip of my tongue, it's almost a touch of a citrus in a, I don't know, I think it's acidity coming through.
Mm-hmm.
Really, really, really nice, like, sparkle on it.
Mm-hmm. Mm.
It's Oof. Kind of like,
oh.
It's. I know, I was going to say, it's kind of like the flavors that you're tasting are so...
Blackcurrant.
Are so such a delight, but then you mm-hmm. get that acidity sparkle, and yeah. it's like, oh, this is like singing. Mm-hmm. It's very, very nice.
Mm-hmm. After your first taste, how do you evaluate?
Like, score it, or where do I think it's from?
Where do you think it's from? Let's start off with that.
The full body of it is throwing me a bit.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to stick with European.
Hmm.
Because sometimes when you try to sway me away, it's because I'm right.
Hmm.
But the other thing that I'm trying to find the right words for is the mouthfeel.
Mm-hmm.
Um, it almost has a bit of a orange peel mouthfeel to it. Do you know what I'm talking about?
Interesting. How about orange zest?
Yes, I would agree.
Well, let me read you a review for this one. Not, it won't reveal what the wine is, but I'm going to read you a review. Amazingly rich, offering deep, complex layers of cherries, black raspberries, cola, ants biscotti, pomegranates.
Biscotti?
Biscotti, I'm sorry, yes. Pomegranates, persimmons, black tea, orange zest, mushrooms, you name it. But don't forget the spices. Everything from cloves and black pepper to cinnamon. Utterly delicious with a silky, briskly clean mouthfeel. But the tannins are pronounced. They're not so strong as to lock the wine down, but to suggest time in the cellar. Give it 4 years, and it could be wonderful after 10 or more.
Mm.
This wine received 98
what?
Of the wine enthusiast points.
98. Wow. How long have you been aging it?
A while.
Mmm. Okay.
Mm-hmm. You didn't know I had this, did you?
I didn't, and I'm also...
Well, you should.
I'm wondering why you didn't have this on a Scott night.
Because then we'd have to split it three ways, now wouldn't we? And mind you, this is not the only one. This one has a brother.
Really?
Or, as it would be, a sister, mm-hmm. Which is timely. Because I believe it's time for the review. First of all, I'm going to tell you where it's from.
Okay.
First of all, this is from California.
Really?
Mm-hmm. But it is Pommard clone grapes. So it's French grape stock planted, but old. So these were planted in 1989. So you have French grape stock planted in the Russian River Valley.
Ah, okay.
Now this winery, you have in fact been to because it's Mary Edwards.
No way!
Yes.
What a treat.
It's the 2009, folks. Mary Edwards, Russian River Valley, Pinot Noir from their Klopp Ranch.
You know what
Ranch.
I almost said to you?
What's that?
I was thinking, if this is domestic,
mm-hmm.
It has to be someone that 1,000,000% knows exactly what they're doing, and that is Mary Edwards.
Well, true. Here's a question.
This didn't happen by accident.
No. Now, one thing. This is back in the mm-hmm. fine years. Mm-hmm. Mary Edwards is not as... she sold the vineyard a couple mm-hmm. years ago. They're still very, very good. Not as good
well,
as
Mary
this
Edwards
generation.
Stayed on.
Yeah, she stayed
winemaker.
On.
The winemaker.
Who'd she sell to? I forget.
I think like a big...
Mm-hmm.
Like, I don't know. I'll look it up. I'm going to want to know now. But I feel like it was Constellation or somebody.
Mm-hmm. This wine, I believe, memory serves me right, yes, it does. We bought this either
Rotorer.
At Mary... Oh, Rotorer. Oh, well, they're just fine then. Rotorer is magnificent. Rotorer, folks, Rotorer Estate, they make... I mean, they're amazing, amazing. They're French, but fear not. Mary Edwards...
They're an old champagne house.
Yes. Mary Edwards costs $60 to $80 a bottle, depending on what you're buying. The cheap stuff, the Sonoma, just the Sonoma County costs like $50, $60.
Mm.
So, I mean, this is a value-priced wine.
Sure is.
We don't have all value-priced wine. We also have a 2010 in the cellar. But we will, I believe, since we like this, I'm not sure why we haven't been buying. You buy a bottle a year, you know, $50. Mm-hmm. What's 60 bucks? We should be buying a bottle a year.
Mm-hmm.
At least. But we've been buying some other Pinots that we've liked that are less expensive, but are lesser. I mean, this is far beyond what Love Block is.
Right.
But we should be buying a couple... top-notch Pinots a year, probably because we don't drink them that often, but we do like a Primo Pinot occasionally.
We've talked at length about people not liking Pinot.
Yes.
And I understand some of that to an extent because I think Pinot is a very easy grape to get wrong.
Mm-hmm.
I do think, though, that you would have a difficult time with someone that does not like Pinot, not liking... I think that their mind would be changed here because this is a full-bodied Pinot.
Mm-hmm.
The oaking is very, very light. I am very sensitive to oaking, and it's not, I don't want to be in the background of that picture.
That's a good point, yes.
But I just, I think, not that you would give this to someone that's not a huge fan of wine, but I think that you would be hard-pressed to find someone that would not enjoy this wine.
Very good point. Well, it takes, it is an extreme wine on a lot of occasions, partly because it doesn't have the same type of fruit that a Cabernet would have. It doesn't come across the same way. Mm-mm. This is more reserved. Mm-hmm. You have to like savory fruit. Black currant, as they were saying, pomegranate. Unusual things. Definitely a prune, but not a sweet prune. A stewed prune, as Scott would say. Yeah. Not tonight, though.
It's going to be so sad.
Because he's not here. Yes. He can't say stewed prune. And he's never had Mary Edwards. He's never been there before.
I wonder... Next time, maybe we could play Scott Bingo without him being here.
How would we do that?
Because I think that we would have to use his.
Oh. So I would have to use, well, that'd be more like Scott Mad Libs. Okay. I have to find a way to say ooey gooey in a sentence.
Oh, Scott, we miss you.
What? Oh, yeah, you're great. Love you.
That's funny.
You're ooey gooey. Why doesn't he wear his pink shirt
anymore?
What do
you think about the minerality of this?
It's got minerality. It's mineral. I wouldn't call it. It's more herbaceous and earth driven. Mm-hmm. So it's not minerality. It's earth driven.
Right. Yeah,
which is what you want. Minerality. When I talk about minerality in a Pinot, that normally means the Pinot is lean. Mm. You know the. Let's see, Louis Jodot, their base Bourgogne Pinot, that's minerality. Why? Because it's fucking lean. I mean, you're grasping for straws sometimes. Mm-hmm. I like minerality when it's in the form of something from Languedoc, but I want earth. I want funk.
Yeah,
you know.
Yeah, I would agree with you. I just got this last sip I had a lot of clove-iness to it.
Oh, absolutely.
And that's so divine.
Mm-hmm.
It is not a normal.
No.
But it just is a very, very delightful.
And this is an 11-year-old Pinot, and it would go another 5 years probably. Yeah, sure. Not past that, but another five. I mean, it's drinking beautifully.
When did you buy this?
We either bought this in 2012 at the Vineyard or Kansas City. So we've had it here at least 7 years. Yeah. Now, mind you, I don't know if we bought the 2010 at the winery or I bought this. Although it has this orange sticker on it.
On the side, right?
So I'm thinking that came from the wine shop. But although there's no UPC on it. This might have actually been the one from the winery.
Okay.
So, the other one must have been from Kansas City. Regardless, we bought these. We bought, like, different wines when we were out there and after the tasting. And we bought an extra suitcase, and we flew home with them. We've done that multiple times. We did that back to Kansas City, Mary Edwards, from Spain.
We didn't buy an extra suitcase in Kansas City.
No. We flew back. Oh, we did in Spain, though.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, we've...
I gave myself a heavy pour.
You did. It's a Christian pour, as Phil would say. Yes, Shakespearean Phil.
What do you think that Shakespearean Phil would say about this wine? That's who I was thinking about.
Well, he believes that he hates Pinot Noir.
But what do you think he would think about this one?
He wouldn't know it was a Pinot, probably, because he's not drank that many Pinots. Phil, when he was drinking Pinot, he was drinking back in the Spritzy's days, where I'd buy Au Bon Clément. And it would taste like acid juice. I mean, they weren't great. You had really, I mean, we're talking, it was damn hard to find something that was good. Anymore, the production has just improved. But that was 20 years ago when he was hating Pinot Noir.
Yeah.
He would like, obviously he would love this. He would love the Rodney Strong entries from their Sonoma Coast or their Russian River. Mm-hmm. Any of those. More of the bigger Cali style, although this is a cross between it's Cali fruit ish with the mentality of a French wine. So terroir-driven, but still has some ripeness. But the ripeness is in savory fruits. Yeah. So, yeah. No.
And it's... There's two really beautiful things. When you have a Pinot, but especially a European-influenced Pinot,
mm-hmm.
where if you get the nuanced flavors right...
Mm-hmm.
The way that they glide across your palate is really, really a beautiful thing.
Yes.
Where none of them are competing, none of them are overpowering. It's just this wonderful progression across your palate, across your mouth. This captures it perfectly. I feel honestly feel so bad that Scott's not here. I really, really do.
Yes, so do I. So do I. But yeah, Klopp Ranch, though, is a single vineyard. It's ran by Lauren Klopp. Actually, Ted was the one that owned it, but Lauren is his daughter. The fact that this got a 98 is a good indication of what we're talking about here. Even the enthusiast doesn't give out 98s. I mean, for Christ's sake. And it was one of those that just opened our eyes when we tasted it. But all their wines opened our eyes. But I mean...
Do you want to talk about what else Mary Edwards is known for?
Sauvignon Blanc. Mm-hmm. Very expensive Sauvignon Blanc in the 40s.
Mm-hmm.
But then again, I think some of the dumbasses that you can see, there's some $60, $70 Sauvignon Blancs. And hers, though, is a very grassy, herbaceous Sauvignon Blanc. So it's not going to taste like one of these.
Yeah.
It's not going to taste like a normal Sauvignon Blanc that's oaked, and then they charge $40 for it. That's annoying, and I get that. Mm-hmm. No. It's an experience similar to Turley's White Coat.
Yeah.
Very much. Turley White Coat is more of a Rhone-style blend, but this has a lot of legs for that. And we also had bought a bottle of Sauvignon Blanc but drank it a long time ago. It's once again, how many bottles of Sauvignon Blanc do you buy? We don't really buy much. Sauvignon Blanc, if I'm buying white, I'm going to buy something probably a little more interesting.
Like what?
Oh, probably Rhone blends, mm-hmm. Something aromatic, maybe Viognier, something like that. Or something French. That's kind of the thing. Cali, that one is very interesting, but it's $40. Mm-hmm. But you can get a lot of interesting things. Like one thing I would like, we're going to do on the show eventually, are some white Côte du Rhône. Just to experience those. And we're going to also do like a Sancerre or some other ones like that, Vouvray. Some different things from France. That's Chenin Blanc, actually. But from the Loire Valley. And experience some of those wines to kind of get a sense of some interesting thing. And some Burgundian whites as well. But still, give us a little bit more of a... expand our palates a little bit, because we've never really dealt in that. So,
Mm-hmm.
But this is a very enjoyable red.
It is. Very... it's very enjoyable. It's another... wine that I've talked about expands your palate. You're really needing to decipher the flavors.
Mm-hmm.
It's such an exercise for your palate. It's such an exercise for my palate to go through something like this and taste it.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, it's really, really well done. It's Mary Edwards, but it is
true.
It is really exceptional. And this is something I was thinking about, like, what would you eat with this? I wouldn't eat anything with this because it's so delicious. It's a wonderful wine to just sit and drink by itself.
True, but if you were forced to.
What would you?
Yeah. First of all, I think that you'd start off with how's the food prepared.
Okay.
The preparation, something that would be very nice. Things that are somewhat earthy, but think of like a truffle like a risotto with truffles.
All I could think of to pair it with would be a risotto.
Well, that would be nice. Like a truffle risotto or a mushroom risotto. That would be nice. Beef burgundy. It would work well with that.
Maybe. I was thinking maybe like a beef stroganoff-ish type dish.
Mm-hmm.
But it's just so good. I wouldn't want to spoil it with food.
Sauteed wild mushrooms.
Mm-hmm.
Things like that. It would be wonderful with certain charcuterie, although you'd have to be, you know, cheeses, French cheeses, yeah. I don't particularly like.
Yeah.
You know, goat's milk things that taste like feet. I don't want to eat that, but that's what it would, you know, things Scott buys, you know, that you have to put across the room.
What about his olives?
You could eat olives, just as long as you didn't eat them like Scott. Sucking on the pits.
Poor Scott.
You don't put your hands in your mouth to eat olives, folks. Stop. Point of order.
He's not here to defend himself.
Yes, I know. He's not, is he? Don't you have a retort, Scott? You don't? Well, I guess then you agree. It's interesting how that works. Well, folks, we're going to take a break. And when we come back, we're going to have some additional interesting discussions here on the Wine Vault. So on tonight's potpourri, I'm going to ask a question. Triple B loves it when I do this, but this shouldn't be that hard. I don't think. I'm going to ask for a few wines. Let's just say two, maybe three. That you originally didn't think that you'd like, but then you tasted it and you loved it.
Two or three wine types?
Whatever.
Okay.
It could be specific wines. It could be wine types. If it were Scott, I would say wine, exactly the wine and the vintage, just to fuck with him. But he's not here, is he? Because if he were here, we'd be drinking Georges Dubouf, Pays d'Oc, Cabernet, and Liberty School in the shitty France versus Cali Cabernet Roundup. Or the Warden. See, I'm saying, folks, I bought the 19 Crimes, The Warden. And Scott, I think, is faking illness, possibly faking the coronavirus, quite frankly, because he doesn't want to drink The Warden. But he doesn't understand The Warden can wait out any communicable disease.
The Warden will still be here.
The Warden's not going anywhere. It can wait out. It doesn't matter. There could be a zombie apocalypse. The Warden will last longer than that. Can you believe you could get that much wine for that little money?
Are you going to make any references to Scott's age?
Scott's age? Well, he does need to be protected. He does need to stay out of, yes, he needs to be protected because he is of that fragile age.
He's like a protected class.
Yes, of 110. Yes.
What were you?
I was talking to Henry. It's like,
what were you talking about, though?
Oh, I was telling Henry about the virus. And
this was like a couple weeks ago.
Yes, we're off topic, but still.
It was so funny.
And I was trying to explain to Henry the people we had to protect. And I was like, we have to worry about grandma and grandpa, blah, blah, blah. I said, and Scott. And Becky was in the other room. And she's like, that's wrong. And she yelled at me. But she was not in the conversation. I was trying to be very serious to Henry to impose upon him that the importance of protecting his elders. Yeah, my elders, older people, like Scott. He's old, so you had to protect him. Actually, Steve is getting up there, too, but nevertheless, he's old.
He's not here.
But of course he's not here. Or is he? I can't see. Steve, you... Okay. But Steve, though, is a hypochondriac, so, you know, he probably already is following these, you know, social distancing, you know.
You think he does just in general?
If he doesn't want to touch anybody, he's walking around. He's walking around with just a complete latex suit. People think he's like into bondage. No, 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 no.
Ew.
Steve's just that hygienic. He just pours latex all over his body. Not because it turns him on.
Not latex, antibac. Steve is, he goes to the doctor more than anyone I know, so I feel like he is the most well-prepared for this.
They're like, Mr. Gibson, body condoms are not a thing. No, no, no. I don't want to get sick. Sir, that is ridiculous. I don't care. But back to the question, Becky. So what wine have you had before that you didn't think you'd like, but then you liked it? I mean, you could say Pinot if you want to. That's a bit of a cop-out. But,
I'm so annoyed with you. I literally just said that.
I mean, if you want to,
I said I was so pissed be so that obvious. He asked that question.
I mean, go ahead and say Pinot. I mean, don't make the show interesting or anything. Just, you know, whatever.
I'm so mad at you.
I know. Oh, I'm sorry. Broken up. Go ahead.
You're broken up or we're broken up?
Hey. No.
Okay. So I, on a normal night, I would say Pinot because a lot of the nuances are not something I would have envisioned myself liking. The earthiness, the funk, all of those things are not, you know, a couple of years ago would not be my wheelhouse. Now I'm a really big fan. But something else that I was thinking about would just be more European wines in general.
Mm-hmm.
I would say probably I like California, Washington, Oregon the most. But as we've talked about on the show, we've drank these really huge, big, flavorful wines, and sometimes your taste buds do need something that's a little bit more nuanced, something that's a little bit more elegant, refined, subtle. And I feel like I'm learning to finding some of the joy, finding some of the exciting pieces of that subtlety. And that is exciting to me.
Hmm. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
What about you?
There's very little I don't like. I mean, I would have to be a wine, a specific wine that we had that I thought it would suck and it didn't.
Uh-huh.
Then again, I'm questioning some of those results. But wines that I've made fun of that were good. I believe you remember Seven Deadly Sins, Michael David, his slosh. I thought that would suck. And that particular wine on that particular day did not suck. I'm pretty sure if I drank it again, it would suck, which means it wouldn't suck. Earthquake Zen, I thought that would be bullshit. It wasn't. Let's see, what else? I'm looking up here. Oh, I thought Protocolo. The 16 would be bad. Oh, you haven't heard that on the show yet, folks. We're going to have a 16-17 Protocolo back-to-back soon enough. I'm sure you're probably just, you know, blocking out time to listen to that. you're like, oh, my God, Protocolo.
No,
holy
I
shit.
When you all scored seven, what's it called? Seven Deadly Sins?
Oh, yes.
When you all scored that in the 90s, I was shocked.
It was really before. Well, another one that we liked that has not been on the show, but you've heard us mention it, was Hoag Late Harvest Riesling. It was fresh and fruity.
Mm-hmm.
McManus, their products. We haven't had the Zinfandel yet as of this taping, but their Petit Verdot, which you have. Well, have you? No, no. That actually will be coming out in the next couple weeks. You'll hear the Petit Verdot episode and the Petit Syrah. That was back in November, but we've also done the Petit Verdot, and you'll hear that soon. I don't know if it'll be this coming Sunday. This is a Wednesday, obviously, you're hearing this, but if it'll be this Sunday or the next Sunday, but soon you'll be hearing the Petit Verdot, and it's a very lovely one. Those are a couple ones. And there's other things that won't
another
ever...
Another one that... This is old school.
Yeah.
But that is surprising is Ravenswood because it has a bird on it.
Well.
And that goes against our rule. But I mean, it's just a fantastic, fantastic winery. But just saying,
Le Clos is another one. That's an oldie but goodie. We've had that multiple times. We've had that multiple times off the show. We enjoy it quite a bit. It can be a little bit wet dogish if you're not paying attention, but you need to let it breathe, open up, and then it becomes a very lovely wine. It's not for beginners. There's a lot of minerality there. It's fairly intense. You got to be ready for some obtuse shit. But if you are, you'll enjoy it. And then beyond that, I mean, the Wintays. We haven't done a Wintay in a long time, partly because...
It has been a long time.
Well, I think we know that we were riding a horse there that was chugging on fumes. And, you know, you just don't push the horse farther down the... We enjoyed Southern Hills and we enjoyed some of their wines then. And then we said, you know what? That's fine. Let's not revisit our hero because we probably won't like it later.
Do you think it's like J. Lore that if we did a blind tasting, you'd be like, what kind of... Do you think it's like J. Lore? Where if it was...
I've liked one J. Lore product.
Bull. You all sang J. Lore's praises.
For the Hilltop.
Which is what I got.
But that's one of their wines. That's the only one.
But you sang its praises. Well,
we liked several vintages
there
of it. Except for the recent one. I hate that one. You just heard this one actually on Sunday, folks. That was the secret wine.
That
wine sucks. It's an abject.
No, I was just gonna say
train wreck.
That every time we talked about one of our favorite restaurants that went out of business,
yeah,
you would always be like, they have J. Lore Hilltop.
They did.
It's on sale for $30.
No, it was on sale for $24. And that was great.
How many times did you say that, though, on the show?
Well, a few times, but we really were excited.
If we were making Rob the Wine Guy bingo, that would have gone on it.
A long time ago.
Because you said it all the time.
I will never say that again because now it's shit. And I don't know. I mean, it's like they just said, you know what? We have this good wine, Hilltop. Let's just fuck it in the ass and make it, well.
That's a disgusting expression. Don't say that.
You know what? It's less disgusting than what they've done to their wine. But, I mean, their regular Paso cab, the thing you see with the red label, the ugly maroon label in the stores for $17, it's horrible. It's a terrible wine. I mean, it is the epitome of a bad grocery store wine that costs a little bit more than it should. Horrible. So then they said, you know what? Let's make the Hilltop the same thing. And then it's horrible. It's a little bit better horrible, but it's still horrible. I hate that wine. I hate it because it used to be lovely. And now it's not. Their Pinot is actually Pinot-ish, by the way. But I wouldn't buy it. Their Chardonnay is not good. And then it's everything else. You're like, am I going to drink their Merlot? No, I'm not. It comes to the point where some of these wineries, they've had... Shit, 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 shit. So you're like, am I going to try the next one? No, you're not going to try another varietal from them. It's like Fry Brothers. We've done 3 or 4 different wines on the show. Why we've done that many of theirs, I don't know. But they've all been equally bad in the exact same way, which makes you think, maybe that's just the way they make wine. So then you say, you know what? I'm going to pass on the Merlot. I'm going to pass on their Pinot Noir. Maybe those things are outstanding, but they've already lost the trust, you know?
Yeah.
That's one reason why McManus keeps getting another shot, because the first two we've had, we've liked. So we're like, yeah, okay, we'll keep playing that card. But with Wente, it was like, you know, Morning Fog Chardonnay, pretty good. The Viva Ranch, pretty good. The Southern Hills, pretty good. Then the Merlot, I forget what that is. Fog something, who knows what that is. You're like, a Sandstone Merlot. You're like, okay, it's... kind of jammy. And so then you're like, I know we're down on the downslope here. It's not going to get better. The Pinot is like $25. You're like, not going to do that. And then they have a Cabernet that's in the 25s. You're like, that's a lot for Wente. So it pretty much stopped with that experimentation. I mean, we could do the Riesling, I guess. I'm sure people will be lining up to listen to that. Tonight, Wente Riesling. No.
Sure.
Yeah, I mean, any Riesling other than Hoag, and I know you folks want to hear the Hoag episode, so we're going to have to get that out for you. Because you're like, you know, they've talked about Hoag Late Harvest Riesling. My life is not complete until I hear that. Okay, you're going to hear two drunk dumbasses going on about a $6.99 bottle of wine that tastes like a bowl of fruit. you know, that's what it was. And then us saying, Triple B will never believe us. She'll never believe us, which is probably true. So how you get drunk off 11% wine, I don't know, but we sure as hell found out.
Well, it was your second one of the night, right?
That was the second one. It's like Stump GSM. I haven't actually put it up on the Value Price Hall of Fame, even though it made it in there that night, because I'm quite sure I'm questioning the results. Because I don't recall that wine being all that good. And I think I sent that on a recent episode. It might have been the Pinot Noir France v. Cali episode where I said the bottom half of that wine was better than the first. So take that for what it's worth, but not a great wine, even though we scored it well. So you're like, A couple other ones I can think of are too. Another one that never will hear the light of day except perhaps on the B-sides. And check that out, folks. If you want to hear episodes that might have a little bit of a flaw, maybe Scott's voice is just echoey, which is kind of funny. Or, you know, it's just some weird-ass wine that there isn't kind of a... There's no real spice to it. You know, there's no real reason why you would listen, but there's some funny shit. You're going to find that on our B-Sides page on winevault.org. So check that out, the B-Sides page, and full episodes. I'm not talking about a five-minute snippet. The whole episode is there. Obviously, you can't download it and put on your phone or whatnot, but you can sit there on your computer and let it play, or your phone and let it play on the browser, and enjoy some weird stuff. We just added three more episodes. That was Finger Lakes, a dry Riesling that we recently did, an old one in Montantico. That was back in 2017. And then what was the other one? Superstar Steve Gibson episode where we did Penfold's Canunga Hill. That was a couple years ago.
Yeah.
And that was the one where Scott, for some reason, on his channel, Echo was on. And he sounded like he was in a tunnel the whole time. Or Steve and I sounded normal. Scott, in a tunnel.
Yeah.
We don't know why. It never happened again, just that one time. But then again, we've switched mixers since then, so that might be one reason.
If we record another episode next Sunday, can I use Scott's mic?
You could have used it tonight.
Well, if he's sick, I don't want to use it until 14 days have passed.
We could spray it with Lysol.
You love Lysol.
It kills germs.
Ugh. It grosses me out. Y'all, I have to tell you guys a story.
If we spray it tonight.
Before we go into scoring.
Sure. Well, before we come back from an...
Okay. So, I don't remember if the boys... I'm guessing the boys had brought home some kind of stomach bug. Okay. And I was exhausted. Like, truly exhausted. I think it was... William had been sick at the sitters. I think... Do you remember he shut himself in the linen closet? And he puked up mac and cheese. Do you remember that?
Oh, wow, yeah.
It was so bad. And it was just so exhausting. And if any of you all have had kids with a stomach bug, you know what I mean. Like, you're just doing laundry. You're waiting on getting sick.
And folks, by the way, stomach bug, think how contagious that is. Times it by three. Now you got corona.
Anyway.
Seriously. Do the math.
This is an entertainment podcast.
That was entertaining. Math is entertaining.
So every time that our kids get a stomach bug, Rob loses his mind.
I'm very susceptible to the stomach virus or whatever it is.
He loses his mind with Lysol. And it has become such a running joke at my work, with my family, like all of our group texts with Rob and the Lysol. So this one, I think it was this one because we've had a lot. I'm laying in bed. I'm so tired. And you know when you're so tired, you're like almost crying. You just are like, I have to sleep.
Mm.
That's how I was. I remember laying in bed and I had like the covers up, like all snuggled up, ready to go to sleep. And you came through the house with your Lysol spray, and you wanted to spray our bed.
That's right.
Do you remember that?
Yeah. What's your problem?
And I was laying in the bed, and you wanted to spray the bed.
No, it actually didn't happen.
I had already done our sheets. I had already done everything, but you wanted to Lysol everything.
I know that you think that, but the fact that you're a crackhead probably does... I will say this. The last time I've had the stomach bug, last two times, they were on Monday mornings, and we do this on Sunday night. So, you know, a full night of drinking. Uh-huh. Then you have the stomach bug. And so you wake up, you go, am I hungover?
It's called being hungover.
It's not. Mm-hmm. Trust me.
It's so weird. Rob's had his hangover, and no one else has gotten it.
Well, then again, I think it was the, what was that, the recipient, we did Cabernet, that might have given me the shits. And then the other one was Goats Do Roam, a Scott file special. So maybe there is some truth to that. Yeah. Oh, Jesus. So.
Is he texting you?
No, somebody else. So anyway, folks, we're going to take a break, and then we'll be right back here on The Wine Vault. Hey everybody, it's Rob the Wine Guy. Do you love the Wine Vault? Do you want the world to know about the Wine Vault? Well, do you know the best way to do that? By giving us a review wherever you get your podcasts. Whether that be on iTunes or Stitcher or TuneIn or Spreaker or Podbean or some other app I've never heard of but probably gave your phone a virus when you downloaded it. So take that time. Give us that review. Give us your thoughts and feedback. That way, everyone will know to listen to, enjoy, and join us on The Wine Vault. And we'll be right back. And we're back, folks. So, we have the 2009 Mary Edwards Russian River Valley Klop Ranch Pinot Noir from California. We're going to start off with the Triple B. We're going to get a numerical score for this wine.
This is a hard wine to score.
Is it?
Because when you are in the 90s.
Yes.
We are not often in the 90s.
I'm often in the 90s.
We're not often above 92-ish. So
not on the first episode, sure.
Right. Normally, we're in the 80s all the time, so I feel very comfortable rating wines in the 80s. Mm. But this wine is in the 90s, and it's difficult. And so I'm looking right now. I'm looking right now at the Wine Vault Hall of Fame, kind of in our other 90s ranges to see. And it's so funny because I'm having a hard time finding other wines that I've put in the Hall of Fame. Well, I'm finding plenty of opportunities where you and Scott. Well,
what about that Portuguese wine, the Quintas de Carvalhos that I gave a 93 to? That
right.
Oh, you weren't on that, right? Were you? That was
so
exceptional.
So I'm like, okay, Turley.
Brica, you didn't have that.
Right.
Barish, no.
Turley, Numanthia.
Condado, now.
And then the Carnival.
You weren't there for that.
And St. Francis, which is delightful.
Yeah, you were there for that. Not White Coat, though.
Yeah, I've never had White
Coat. Or El Condado, but you wouldn't like that. So, there's that.
So.
Peña was very good.
Okay. Although my experience in the 90s is limited.
Mm-hmm.
I'm giving such an evil stare right here. I wish that Scott was here tonight because he'd be like, oh, he would see the stare. So, just a couple of notes that I have.
Mm-hmm.
This wine's full-bodied.
It is.
Which is, it's not rare in a Pinot, but it's not as common as a medium-bodied Pinot. When you can pull off a full-bodied Pinot, I think that in and of itself is a feat.
Mm-hmm.
Don't
yes.
you? Like, true. It's very impressive. The flavors, the journey, all of that is exceptional.
Mm-hmm.
The acidity that dances along your palate is like so, is so above and beyond.
Mm-hmm.
it's like when you, I just keep thinking about like a work evaluation when they're like meets expectations, exceeds expectations. It is so above exceeding expectations. Are you laughing at Bo?
Yes, I am. He is below expectation. He's completely asleep.
He's completely asleep next to our empty wine bottle.
I think he lives for the wine vault so he can just sleep on the rug.
He's so happy.
Yes.
But anyways, I do think exceeding expectations, something that we didn't talk very much about are the tannins.
Mm-hmm.
I'm struggling to find something missing or an imperfection in this wine because I don't think that that exists.
Oh, so it's a 100 then.
It's just very, very well done. And I love that you, at the beginning when you pointed out that this is did you say French grape stock?
Well, yes.
Yes. Planted in California. So you're really getting, like, truly the best of both worlds here. As I'm looking up on the board, I'm seeing what I've rated Turley, which you know is near and dear to my heart. I don't remember Hidden Ridge.
It was good.
Yeah, I don't remember it vividly. I don't know how long ago that was.
2018.
Yeah. I mean, my memory is gone from that year. That's when I had Lukey.
Yeah. No, you were on that episode, though.
I was on that episode, but I don't have any memory of it. So I'm going to go with a 94.
Ooh.
Which is a very, very high score for me. It is putting it above Turley.
Mm-hmm.
It's putting it above Turley Old Vines Inn, which is my wine of choice all day, every day. So yes, I'm going to go with a 94. The last thing I'll say about this before I turn it over to you for your review is the oaking on this is so subtle and masterfully done that all it does is add to the Pinot. It doesn't take away or overpower anything. And that is such a rare thing. I am so impressed.
And then on to me.
Right.
This is a tricky wine in a lot of different respects because Pinot itself, I'm thinking of some of the best Pinots we've rated. And for me, score-wise, the Walt, the Martin Ray, although, I mean, the Martin Ray was good, but, I mean, come on now. I mean, there are levels of good. This is way beyond that. It is in the Walt category. That's a Catherine Hall product, actually, but a little less expensive than this. So this is a top-level mm-hmm. Pinot, a single vineyard top-level Pinot. So that brings into a different level. And really, for me to be able to properly review this, I need to channel the Pinot file. And thank you. I keep up. It's the Pinot file. I'm going to review my outputs. Normally, I focus on Foxglove Pinot, but tonight I'm going to review my outputs. And so I'm retired, but nevertheless, I find this wine to be divine. Divine. It is divine. My website is for sale, by the way. Anyway. I channeled him long enough. Whew, where am I on this wine? It's wonderful. Start off with that. And I have two numbers in my mind, but they're two different numbers that aren't next to each other, which is weird. The 98 is unusual, but that was in 2012. But then again, the fact that this wine has shown that it can hold that long, 11 years, 10 years, yeah, they were thinking 2022, and yes, it would go that long. It has that ability. It's collectible. It's everything that it needs to be. And it's going to get the score that I thought it would.
Huh.
That's a 95.
Oh, I was a Russian judge.
Well, not much. Score would be 93 to 95 would be my bracket.
Yeah. So, I was a 94.
You were. Which means nothing. I could make it 94 to 97. It makes no difference.
Okay.
Or 96, which would be mathematically more accurate. A 95, why? One reason, and a big reason is, this is old. Mm-hmm. And it's not showing age. It's as delicious as it was when we tasted it at the winery. It's a little bit more evolved. It was a bit of a bruiser back in those days, but that was 2013, 2012, many years ago. And we've had this wine sitting there for that long, aging. Flew in an airplane, came back here. Here it is. I will say the scores are slightly irrelevant because it doesn't go on the wall. It goes in the higher esteem category. It goes on top of the bookshelf.
What?
See, the top level wines that we've really enjoyed, mm-hmm. they don't have the labels removed. The bottle and all goes up on top.
Yeah.
Our creme de la creme wine that Scott and I typically did not have, but Scott and I had, was Domaine du Pagau. And that was a 1998 Domaine du Pagau, or 99, I can't recall. It's up there. It is the best wine we've ever had on the wine vault. But this is up there with that. This is up there with the Clarendon Hills Higginbotham. It's up there with the Smitholt Lafite. It's up there with Pagau. It's not as good as Pagau, though. Pagau was the best. Still the best. Always the best.
Really?
Oh, Becky. But this is on par with the ZD Cabernet. Although the ZD Cabernet is on the regular wall. You weren't on that episode. But I think you were pregnant then. It was a really good wine. I should have bought a case of that in 1999. I hate myself I didn't buy that. But this is an exquisite wine by an exquisite winemaker. And what it reminds me is we need to buy this annually. And once again, you don't have to go out and buy a case of this stuff. I mean, some people do. I mean, rich assholes do that. But, you know, you normal people, you normal collectors, people that like Pinot, buy a bottle of Mary Edwards once in a while. You see it out there in a wine shop, $65-$70. Buy it. Buy it. Put it away. It is a seller selection. It's going to age. It's part of your collection. It's something that's worthy of collection. Maybe you buy one. Maybe you buy two. Who knows? Buy one day. Buy the other one 3 weeks later. It doesn't matter. But it's a winery that you know you can trust to base a collection off of. That's what I've done. A lot of these wines that you buy, you're like, okay, I'll have them in 3 to 4 years. This wine, no. It's 10 to 12 to 13 years. It's that next echelon up. Under $100, too. Under $80, actually. And that's a special thing. That's something to be celebrated and enjoyed. And I encourage all of you to find wines like this. And this isn't the only one. There are many, many wines out there that kind of tap into this kind of enjoyment. Not just in drinking, but in collecting and sitting back and thinking about when you bought it and all the time that's passed between now and then. Think about all the things that happened in the last 7 to 8 years. I've had 3 children. Bought this wine, 3 children. 3 human beings into this world since I bought
three
this wine.
Crazy boys.
Oh, they're fucking nutballs. But all of them, you know. And all of them have grown up a little bit since then, even this wine. So this wine predates all of my children, you know, and it was bought on the trip, you know, where we were celebrating the first one. I don't know if the celebration would have been quite as vibrant had we known, but still, nevertheless, you know, we all have regrets, but that's okay. I'm just joking. Am I? I don't know. So folks, a 95, a 94, a esteemed Hall of Fame. No Scott. Sorry, Scott. But nevertheless, folks, I wish all of you a good evening. I hope you all stay safe out there. Listen to your experts. Don't go out. Don't be stupid. If you're in New York City, don't be stupid. Stay out of the fucking park. Look at Italy. You don't want to be Italy. I've always said you don't want to be Italy, and now you know why I mean that. But don't be stupid. Listen to them. Or don't. But, you know, don't come around me. Or anybody I know if you don't. So, nevertheless, folks, for the Triple B and for Rob the Wine Guy, but not the Unlicensed Taxi Driver, we are going to bid you adieu and see you next time on the Wine Vault. Good night.